Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a May 14th edition of MSP Initiative MSP Talk. Love May. It's my favorite month. Happy to be my birthday this month. So happy birthday to all you May babies. Let's get to some housekeeping and we'll get on to the good stuff. MSPinitiative.com. It's where you're going to find everything that we do here at MSP Initiative, including sessions like the one that we're on right now. So if you want to hear this in audio or video format, you can go to mspinitiative.com under sessions. We also post it to podcatchers, so you can do it on Android or podcasts or, you know, your Apple app, etc. We also post these onto YouTube. So however you consume these, please like, share, subscribe, all that good stuff. Got hundreds and hundreds of these. We do them for you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who came to MSP Community Minds in Nashville. We are going to be doing another one of these, it looks like, in Denver in September. We originally had these scheduled for July, but we're going to move them. So check out MSP Community Minds on MSPinitiative.com. There's a tab up top, and you can see all of the MSP panelists and the workshops that we did, and an idea of what the schedule looks like over 2 days. Totally educational event. Something where you should be able to walk away with a tangible, these are the steps I need to do in order to get to an outcome, rather than theory and thought. Maybe you should think about doing this, and here's why you should think about doing this, but like no other steps, right? How many breakout sessions have you ever been to where like effectively you've walked away and you're like, I guess I need to do homework into that. And then it never happened, right? Stopped right there. Let's actually give you something that you can actually, you know, follow. And then, by the way, hear from MSPs in the trench like you, hopefully, that have figured out something, right? What's working? What's not? What's a mistake? You know, learn from others, right? Rather than learning the hard way, because that's the way I learned. It's an expensive and bloody way to figure things out. Then we have our MSP community block parties, after parties, nighttime activities. This is definitely what we're well known for. We have two of these coming up in June. One in Denver with our friends at PAX 8 for PAX 8 Beyond. This will be on June 10th, which is the second night of the event. And then we'll be doing the same week, a couple days later, in Dublin for DattoCon or Kaseya DattoCon Europe. I believe 2 days later on the 12th, we'll be doing a block party or after party there. So we have plenty of these planned for the rest of the year. These are just the next two coming up. You can find these under community block parties on MSPinitiative.com. If you are planning to go to these, register ahead of time so that you're not sitting in line trying to type on your phone. I promise you that is frustrating. Avoid the line if you can. Then you can check out community offers. These are just deals or hookups from around the industry that you may or may not take advantage of. And then our industry calendar, which so many events, not enough days or weeks in the year. I think more events than there is time for you to be at them. But I digress. There they are. That is all of the housekeeping. MSPinitiative.com. Now we're going to get on to the good stuff. Welcome to the show. Good friend and fellow person in the sandbox who loves to play in the sand like everybody else. I like to build sand castles myself. Rafael Sangili, how you doing today, Raf?
How's it going, Georgie? Good to see you, man. Always good to catch up with you, buddy. And yeah, man, if you guys haven't caught those MSP Initiative events, the one we did in Nashville was awesome. We had some great feedback. Everybody showed up, man. We had some really good stuff. And those things are still growing, right? So like, the more you guys can come and like help us and tell us what you want to learn. Like, look, everybody there had the right mindset. The teachers that were all there, I can speak firsthand, dude. Like, we were all there just trying to help. Like, we're all there legitimately trying to make stuff that, like, if you guys are out there and need something, there's plenty of classes, right? We don't have to come up with more classes. We can just come up with something that's relevant to you that you actually care about, that you want to really learn. We're not there trying to pitch stuff to you, trying to sell you stuff. Like, if you want to buy stuff, we're not going to say no over there. But it's not, you know. That's not the intent. The intent is to really drive some value and some good education for the community, man. So please, next time you have one of these, come out.
Yeah, no, I mean, and actually, you know, thank you, Raf. You know, Raf is actually one of the people who, not just one on one day, but on two separate days for two hour time blocks, you know, did a session, right? We'll talk about that, right now. But, you know, at the end of the day, like when we, and listen, I'm not, and us here at MSP Initiative, we're not taking credit for the concept, right? We are just one of many organizations and people in the sandbox who are trying to like shift the conversation another way, right? Like, Raf, you've been to hundreds of events, right? Hundreds, yep. Conferences, road shows, user groups, you name it. I know I've been to probably just as many. Man, how many times are you like, oh, you know, that's actually a pretty cool topic. Let me go learn something. You walk out of there and you're like, I couldn't tell you how to start anything that we just talked about. And quite frankly, at the end of that was a hook saying, hey, buy my XYZ, you know, price item subscription service in order to figure out how to do it. And I was like, okay, I get it. Like, I understand everybody, you know, is trying to do them and pay, you know, pay for their stuff. Right. But at the end of the day, it's like, I kind of discount what I'm being told after going into a 45, 50, 60 minute session. And I'm like, was that legit? Or was I just being, you know, the used car, you know, kind of sales pitch to me. And so like when we created the idea of MSP Community Minds and we parked the tour bus after COVID and we're like, hey, what can we do other than, I think the best part of every event is the networking part, right? Like talking to other people, like face to face, the beers, the sandwiches, we all love that. But like
the pizza,
absolutely. The pizza is very important. How can we like give back, right, to the to people in the sandbox in a way where they're like, hey, we're actually not looking for anything from you, right? Like, we just want you to come and like participate and learn something. And like, there's so few things that are happening out there where that's the, like the base idea, right? Like, and that's really what, and again, not taking credit. I know there's several people out there. I can name many off the top of my head who are trying to shift into this direction for good reason, right? We want to help the community, but man, I really love all of the times where I learned something as an MSP, like growing up through the industry. I saved myself years, right? Trying to figure out what works, what doesn't. Years. Like, you couldn't buy that time back.
Absolutely.
So I can't stress that enough. And like, I'm not trying to pump out, you know, any educational events probably worth your time, but we get it, right? Like, how many days, weeks, month, you know, can you be out of your business, right? Like, there's a finite number of attempts, right?
And every time you're out of the office, man, it's an actual investment, right? So like, it sucks when you go to something, you spend time, you have a bunch of stuff going on, you got to bounce out and you got to attend this class, quote unquote class, that you think's going to be, you know, educational. And it ends up being, like you said, it's just like some vendor pitch with like the title changed, like how to make money with our product, but, you know, not so thinly veiled behind education, right? So that's the whole thing is like, I've always been a big fan of, look, just give education. I know you see the same things the same way. And that's what I think, without kind of keep hyping up this event. I mean, there's a ton of really good events out there, but just rule of thumb is you can kind of get a vibe of the speakers of the event, what the event's like, you know, the total energy and the mindset. It's just everybody at that event had a really good mindset of course, just give value first. And that's, and everything else will just fall, right? 100%. You know, that's great, man. And that's, I think that's just kind of the culture, man. You breed that culture. We know that you don't take any crap. So I think everybody was ready for that going into the event, man. So, you know, other than that, it was great, bro. The people that there showed up, the class really participated very well. Like, everybody was in the class. I think you get some good feedback. And again, I learned, you know, we've taught a million of these classes too, man. We've done a bunch of speaking education spots. I'll tell you what, with a really great class, it also has a mindset of like coming in and learning instead of just sitting there, arms crossed, like, man, what are you going to teach me, right? But like really with the open mindset, man, we had some great discussions in that class. I learned stuff all the time. Like, I learned stuff all the time just from even just, I feel like I'm leading more of a discussion and sharing like, hey, this is the things I've seen that works, things that I think are really cool, things that I think I've seen that, you know, be successful out there. By no way am I saying this is my invention. I invented this style of doing this. It's just like, hey, I saw how Michael Jordan dunked a basketball. This is pretty much how he did it, you know? And like, maybe you guys have a different way to dunk a basketball, but this seems to be the best way that I've seen so far. And then I'll share that with people. Then we have a discussion in class about like, hey, how do we do this, right? And it can relate to anything, marketing, sales, technical stuff. I think it's just, again, it's that mindset of leading an open class, hearing what's working out there from you guys and what's not working, right? I mean, again, I learned a ton of stuff that might've been really cool a couple of years ago and then today is not working out so well at all. So it's good to just hear that in real time. And like you said, the networking of these events, man, you know, if you guys are going to these events, and I know a lot of us go out to these events, and, you know, half the time is spent in the networking side, talking to different people in the events, catching conversations in the hallways and obviously hanging out with the different vendors and doing stuff after class. after work and after classes. But you know, if you're not taking advantage of really hopefully driving some value, figuring out ways that you can capitalize and really understand like the partnership mindset, like a really good partnership mindset, it's a waste of time. You might as well just stay at your office, man. If you're not going to really make them, I mean, still work, right? We're having a good time and still work.
Yeah. So for everybody that, you know, so actually let's go backwards a second. What was your session about at Community Minds?
Sure. So my session was all about how to deliver the right message, like how to get the right messaging across, how to tell your story as a brand, how to develop your brand story. Because look, man, one of the things we all realize, right? All MSPs, for the most part, we're basically all selling the same stuff. Okay, it's Pepsi and Coke, right? It's different brands of cola, right? There's going to be a bunch of little flavors and stuff in between, but really, at its core, we're even selling the same logos of the same stuff, right? The same lineup in many cases. So, like, what makes you different when you're all selling the same stuff? And to the person receiving your message, it all kind of sounds the same. Everyone's got great service. Everyone's got great customer service, right? What's deeper than that? What's past that? What do people really connect to? But that's kind of what the class is all about, is figuring out the real essence of your brand, how to build on that, how to identify it, and then scale it and grow. Like, man, there's so many cool tools out there with AI now, generative AI, all that stuff. But I talk about in the class, like, that's not going to save you. If you don't understand what your voice should sound like, what you want to say and why you're saying it, ChatGPT is not going to give that to you. I mean, it's going to be a cool tool once you understand all that stuff and know how to put the prompts in. Then it's just a matter of figuring out, you know, how to use those tools to tell your story. But the most important part you got to figure out is, what is your story? Like, what makes you different from everybody else that's out there selling the same exact stuff that you are? And that's kind of what we talked about in the class, is finding your voice, finding your style. What is your vibe, right? What are you putting out? And you know, we talk about a whole bunch of stuff in class. I talk about also how to position your products. A lot of people are positioning their services or whatever they're selling. And it could be vendors and it could be, you know, partners all suffer from the same stuff, where they just want to pitch and tell you all about how blah, 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 blah. But they sound so safe and they sound so in the hunt to not piss anybody off or turn anybody off. They end up all sounding homogenous and exactly the same, right? And you get lost into what you actually do. Like, think about it. Every business owner, it doesn't matter what we're selling. We could be selling managed services. We could be selling some new software. We could be selling, you know, whatever, new you know, mouse pads. It doesn't matter, right? Whatever it is that we're selling, when somebody's buying it, it's a business decision. It's a B2B sale. There's only four things you're thinking about, right? If I buy your thing, whatever that thing is, your service or whatever that is, how does that impact my sales and my revenue? Right? Like, really specifically, the more specificity you drive behind this, the better you become. So how does I buy your backup solution, right? How is that going to impact my sales? How is that going to impact my marketability or my brand value? How is that going to impact my operational efficiency? So outside of cost, how is it going to impact my operations? And then outside of bottom line cost, how is it impacting my overall financials and my profitability? So if you're selling to SMOP and you understand that whatever problem you're solving for, the next thing the business owner is thinking about is, how does that impact my SMOP? If I buy this thing, what happens to my sales, marketing, operations, and financials? What are the impacts of that problem on those four areas? And it doesn't matter what you're selling. You can actually position some real value, right? And then the second part to that is, hey, if everyone, now you identified the problem, right? What are the three things that everyone's thinking about before they make a buying decision? They're thinking about, well, I don't have to do anything. What if I just keep things the way they are, right? I mean, hey, I'm a smart guy. There's ChatGPT. I'm sure I can figure this out myself. Why can I do it myself? Is there current software, the stuff that I'm using, does it? Or, hey, you're not the only guy selling this, so why should I buy it from you? Right? And if you think about it, every marketing program, every sales technique, doesn't matter what you have to ultimately satisfy all those questions. You got to ultimately get to that stuff. So again, when you understand what you're selling, you understand what you're selling against and who you're selling to, like what the actual impact of the stuff that you're driving is selling, the next part is just really figuring out your voice. Like, how do you get that message across, right? Like, we tell people, look, there's three things that make up your brand and why people actually like you, and has nothing to do or very little to do with the services you sell. It has to do with the people in your company. You got to think, they're all talking to you, right? The people in your company end up really representing your brand. It could be some favorite help desk technician, whoever it is that your customers are interacting with, the people in your company, that's one. The second thing, the reason they like you, is your culture. they identify with your culture. They identify what you guys connect to. There's some kind of similar vibe. You guys all like the Eagles, right? You guys all like whatever. There's something that drives you guys together. It's a cultural connection. And then the third thing is what you're passionate about as a business owner. Like, why are you doing this? What's your vision? What's your vision for their SMOP specifically, right? If you're an MSP out there and you're focused on lawyers and you're saying, hey, my brand value is I make lawyers make money. I help lawyers save costs and increase their billable rates. I show you how to leverage technology to be way more efficient with your law firm. Those are all actual impact statements. And if you can back it up, and then again, how you connect to those guys, your vibe, people, passion, culture, man, you have that winning combination of those two things working together. You have the beginning of starting to understand your brand voice, your brand style, again, your vibe that people connect to. It's outside of the solution card or the solution stack that you're selling.
Wow. I mean, listen, let me unwind that for a second. I remember Gary Vee, right? Everybody loves him, knows him. At least I do, right? We saw him at a DattoCon not too long ago, a couple of years ago. I remember him saying, hey, if you're under $25 million in revenue, the name of your company, the brand of your company, the logo of your company is you, right? Like it's a person, right? You can create whatever corporate identity you want, right? Like it's actually the person who's at the front of that company, who's the face, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people, Raph, that come into the technical IT services, managed services industry, you know, like they don't, I feel like they like their person, they're scared to show personality, right? Like they love
for tech. Sure.
They like blinking lights and all the cool stuff. And like, that's probably a lot of the reason they're in the industry, right? Like everybody kind of like gravitates to what they think's cool. But like from a presentation standpoint, they're like behind the scenes people, right? They're like the cameraman, right? They're like the DJ.
Yeah.
Like they're not the people out front. So I think to some degree, you know, the homogenous kind of part of all of this is they rely on other people to create the story. And reality is that the story sounds the same as the guy next door and the guy next to that person. And like all of a sudden it's, you know, like how many times have you gone to even a vendor of an MSP and like their verbiage on their marketing collateral almost sounds like they're an MSP?
Dude, so much. Or it just sounds like the most generic ChatGPT post of all time in the ever-changing world of whatever, right? You can instantly tell that this was clearly created by some ChatGPT, some language program. And it's, again, it's because even from that perspective, to create proper prompts, even use that stuff, you have to know your voice. You got to know what makes you authentically you. What are you about, right? And it's cool because like we know some of these guys. You don't have to be, unfortunately, as a business owner, you kind of have to wear all hats. You have to recognize that maybe even if you're shy, maybe even if that's not your jam, is to get in front of people and talk to people or whatever, like you said, you are the face of your company. You are the one out there that people are getting a general vibe of. Same thing too, from a cultural perspective, when you hire, when you're hiring somebody to the company, you can instantly tell if this guy's going to be a fit or not, or this person, I should say guy, but this person is going to be a fit or not to work with the rest of your team, right? You got to look at like, hey, what does this look like? What are the things outside of their skill set that we connect on that fit into this company? When you guys start identifying those characteristics, those traits, you start to find some common denominators across the board that start to help you identify what is it about your company that's special? What is it about your company that's unique? What's that thin line that connects all you guys together? Maybe John over here is a hunter. Maybe Steve over here is a vegan. Maybe Jim over here is into beer, and you know, Shelly over here is into whiskey, right? Whatever. There's something that connects everybody there that has everything on the same page that gets these guys to work as a team together, right? What does that look like? And some of the, I mean, again, it takes some introspection, but you're absolutely right. In today's day and age, Gary Vee talks about it, man. Look, you got to go out there and you can't be afraid to be yourselves. You can't be afraid to pull the curtain back a little bit and let your clients and your partners see what you're really all about. I mean, they're going to see it anyway. They're going to eventually get to know you guys, right? You might as well figure out now if there's a match and you like each other, and there's a connection. Because look, we've all done this deal too, man. We get the right client, especially you're starting. Look, for you guys that are just starting MSPs out there, I totally get this too. You need money, right? You get some deals, some prospect comes in. You want to work this deal. You're afraid to lose it. You're afraid to lose it, which is usually in my history, when you're afraid to lose that deal, it's already not looking well. Right? If you have that fear inside you of like, man, I really need this sale to happen, that's you. That very rarely ever works out, in my opinion. Okay. You kind of have to be free of that a little bit. That sounds counterintuitive, but you got to free yourself from that pressure. Okay. And then secondly, also don't just qualify people for how much if you can afford to bring them on. You bring on that one bad client that's not a connection, you can tell it's going to be a cultural mismatch. That is a poison pill for you managed service providers out there. That's a poison pill. It's going to end up costing you more than you're making on the deal. I don't care who it is or what the deal is. Right. So we've all done that, but that's usually a factor of like, hey, I'm not connecting with the right people. I get it early on. You got to sign up whoever you want. Keep track of those guys. Understand who you connect to, what connects clients to you, what your ideal favorite clients look like outside of why they pay you, outside of what they pay you. Why do you like working with those guys? Start identifying those things and just bring in those clients. And you can also develop really good marketing. You can develop really good messaging when you understand who the kind of like the person you want to talk to is. Like, what does that look like, right? So look, George and I have been around a bunch of times. George can tell you, one of my favorite things about working with George, Alec, and anybody in the B-Boy team, if you've ever engaged any of these guys, like they are themselves 100% of the time. You're never going to catch George throwing on some weird British accent or some shit. Right? You're never going to catch George going out and being somebody other than George, right? And look, that's why people like him. That's why people can respect him. And that's why people, because he comes off as authentic. Same thing with Alec. Same thing with Jen. Same thing with Michelle. Same thing with everybody that people interact with is that authenticity. So if I can like tell all you guys out there, I know it's scary, man. I know it's scary, but you got to be yourselves. And it should show up on your website, to the tone, to the vibe, to your videos. My goodness, some of you guys have out there some videos. Good Lord. Right? We are in the Lord's year of 2024. And some of you guys have some videos out there that look like they were made in a high school in 1996. Okay. Like it is really, really bad out there. So there's no reason to do that. And it's a lot of it has to do with, again, I think that some of you don't understand your vibe, can't identify your style, or are afraid to show it in some of your videos. You end up with the same robotic, monotone, ultra safe, corporate-y message. George, let me tell you something. I would love to get your vibe on, like, I think corporate messaging, that corporate-y style of tone, is dying. I think it's something that's getting, it's an old way of communication and business that I think is being phased out by a little bit more of a casual tone.
I mean, you know, back to the, and again, I didn't learn about buying personas until way later into the game, right? Like I'm thinking about when I started, yeah. Probably took me 10 years before somebody's like, have you ever figured out what your, you know, good, better, best clientele looks like? What's the vertical? What's the size? Who are the people in, who are the positions inside of that client that you would be creating messaging for? Is it the check signer, the office manager, the, certain, you know, the sales leader, the whatever? And like, I didn't get into that level of context until way later into the game. However, you know, what resonates with people, and like, I don't know. I was always the jingle guy. That always worked for me, right? Like the Burger King commercial, right? Like, sure. I love those. I think that they're hysterical, right? And like, whenever I hear that, like, I'm like, oh yeah, that, I really, you know, I kind of like jammed to that. Like, I love stuff where it's like, oh yeah, you know, if I relate to something, I will pay attention versus if I don't care, like, you know, in one ear, out the other. And like, I think part of, to your point, Raph, it's like, hey, you know, like if it's bland, there's too much noise where I just won't even really pay enough attention to get whatever the message is, right? Like it'll just be whitewash for me. Like if I want to stop what I'm doing and pay attention to, I don't care if it's a TV commercial, a radio ad, a feed, right? Instagram, Facebook, whatever, Snapchat, whatever it is that you're on, so many, like I'll just flip through those and I'll never even stop unless something catches me, right? So like back to the, hey, what vibes with people? What feels authentic? What connects with the actual target that you're after? Like you have to go past just, hey, we do this. Well, unless I'm have a burning need for that right now.
Yeah.
I probably don't pay attention to that at all.
100%, man. And that's and finding out what that need is. Like, there's actually a really, if you guys haven't done this before, there's a great book out there. It's one of my favorite sales books of all time. If you need another book to read, here's a good one to throw on there. But it's a book called Secrets of Question-Based Selling by a guy named Tom Friese. Okay. Called, short name is QBS. Okay, everyone kind of knows it as QBS. It's one of the best sales books I've ever read. I had the pleasure of meeting the author a while back and working with one of his top trainers way, way back in the day, in the old MSPU days, the before times, to develop this really cool sales process. Well, going through that and working with that over the years and different capacities and different things, I kind of refined that model a little bit just over time of just kind of working with different stuff. And I found you can really get it. There's like a single page, very easy to follow document. It's just a PAS document. And it helps you figure out, like, again, to that need. What is the need you're solving for? Like, if you guys are listening at home and want to do this real quick, you can literally create this right now on a Word document, on a back of a napkin or in your notebook, okay? Get a blank piece of paper and just put P at the top, okay? Give yourself 10 lines, like 10 spaces to write a little sentence. Underneath that, put a little A, okay? And then underneath that, put a little S. And then the A, give yourself three sections. And the S, write what is it you're selling? Your backup solution, your managed services, what is the thing that you're selling? On the P, write what problem does that thing fix? What problem does that solve? Right? What is that problem solving? And now write that problem very specifically to the person and the demographic that you're going after. Is it the C-level person at a law firm? Is it the CTO of a manufacturing place? Is it whatever it is to that person? How would they identify that problem in their mind? Okay. And then think about the implications of that problem, the business implications of that problem on their business. So let's just say their problem is shitty backup or bad backup, right? How do they, what is that bad backup for this, whatever person at whatever vertical you're serving? How does that impact their SMOP? How does that impact their sales? How does it impact their marketability? How does it impact their operations? And how does it impact their financials, right? So what are the SMOP implications of that problem to that person? Come up with 10 of them. Come up with 10 of those implications and say losing revenue, obviously, right? Go a little deeper than that. Like, what are financial regulatory compliance issues you might be falling out of compliance with? What are some different things? And then write those all as questions. So once you identify, is it a sales problem? Is it a marketing, you know, is this affecting marketing? Is it affecting sales, that implication? Write that out as a question. This is how you would ask the question in a marketing engagement, that is question to sale. So you ask the question in your voice. How would you ask that question to that person? And then think about the alternatives, right? Do nothing, fix it yourself, go with your competition, write the pros and cons of each of those, and then your solution. That's it. Once you have that document, you can give that to marketing and they can come with campaigns out of that. They have messaging that's very specific, that talks to specific pain points that that person cares about. Like, why does this matter to them, right? And then on the sales side, you can actually develop the sales questions that'll coincide with that marketing document. So again, it makes it really easy to get both teams on the same page, but more importantly, for everybody to understand, why would somebody need your service? Why do they care? Why should this guy care about your thing that you're selling?
No, that's a simple exercise, I think. I mean, the question is taking the time to actually go and do that, right? And like, by the way,
yeah.
I kind of work backwards from, like, if I look at my most successful, you know, customers from a business relationship standpoint, and like say, hey, why did it work so well for these people? And then go backwards to answer some of the questions you just asked. That's where you ride into, well, here's the messaging that I'm actually creating, I think, right? Because if you're trying to locate that customer, and that's the customer that you're after, then that's where I want to be able to figure out, hey, why were they so good? What problems did I solve for them? You know, where did I give them value? You know, because how many times have we heard, hey, you know, I know everybody looks at price, right? If they can't afford it, they can't afford it. But
sure.
Are you selling off of problem solving and value? Or are you just selling, you know, lowest guy wins? Because I think we all know, right? You know,
everybody sells on price, man. Well, everybody sells on price.
Yeah, but not everything's created equal though, right? Like, what
exactly?
How many people water down things in order to make the price all the time, right? They didn't change the marketing though. You know, like, how many, let me give you an example as an MSP. How many times is an MSP was I marketed to? Single pane of glass. How many times? I probably heard that a million times. But did it ever actually come true? No.
No. Or what does it mean? Like, there's so many marketing terms that just mean nothing. Like, really, because it doesn't mean anything to the person that's receiving it. Single pane of glass. Like, what's okay? Great. Which pane of glass am I actually looking at? Because I have three single pane of glasses, so it doesn't make it a single pane anymore, right? It's like I have multiple panes of glass that I'm still looking at, right? So it's just it's the same concept, man. I think it's one of those mismatches that when you don't complete a brand promise, if you don't complete a marketing promise, it just falls into the noise stack, right? That we're all trying to avoid. How do we separate from noise, man? And noise really is being specific, is being relevant, and being authentic. If you can be specific as to like what problem are you solving specifically, like the more specific, the better. Like, what are the actual pain points specifically? That's why vertical, even if you're not verticalized or horizontal for your market, it's good to understand. Because look, as an MSP, we're basically doing one of two things, man. We're either helping our clients make money or helping our clients save money. And if you don't really fully understand those two things, because again, at the end of the day, you're providing technology, but your technology is to produce a business outcome. That's the only reason they care about that technology, right? So you need to really clearly understand how does your services impact this manufacturing place or doctor's office or whoever you're selling to. You have to know their SMOP, man. Because the more you know that, the easier it becomes to become relevant and then to tell it in an authentic way that makes sense, right? I mean, that's really what we're coming down to. But you pointed out just perfect earlier, George, is who's willing to do it. Like so many of us out there, man, hear this crap. We've heard, I'm sure this is not the first time. I'm not revolutionizing anything. I'm sure this is all stuff most of us in the back of our head have heard somewhere, read somewhere, picked up somewhere, or just know inherently, but doing it, like taking the time out to actually do the thing, to fill out that form, to create your questions, to do that thing is what separates. And I don't care, everyone's busy. We're all busy. You make the time for the things that are important, right? Like a lot of us right now, dude, a lot of you guys out there have sales teams that are going out there that are all pitching in different ways. They all have their own little tracks and their own style and how they're saying it. Every sales guy should have sort of his own style, but they should all be saying basically like 70%, maybe 75% the same stuff, because that's what you ultimately are selling and the way that you're selling it, right? Some of you guys out there aren't practicing at all. You're practicing on your clients. That's crazy. Like, why don't you just record yourselves role-playing and practicing and making sure that you know, like, hey, am I doing it the right way? Am I saying it the right way? Am I coming off the way that I want to make sure I'm coming off? All those things, right? Did I forget something? Right? Those are all things that are just functions of lack of practice, man.
You know what this reminds me of? Bar rescue. All right. I know Jen behind the scenes loves Bar Rescue. She can't wait to visit certain places. But you know, every time I watch Bar Rescue, it's like you have a, like the last one was like three brothers, right? They bought a bar. None of them had ever been trained on how to run this bar. They just did whatever they thought was right, and then they ran this thing into the ground. They had a month left to like keep this place alive. Jen's like, I watched that one. Yeah, me too. Here comes in Bar Rescue, and they're like, why is this place so dirty? Like, walk past the cooler 1,000 times. Like, why is there mold on the door to the cooler? Like, did you not see that? Like, you're not using the right containers for food, right? You brought like Tupperware from home. You can't do that in a commercial environment. Like, why didn't you know? Nobody taught me. Like, I feel like a lot of the same responses, Raf, are what we hear from people in this space, right? It's like, hey, I know technology. Okay, that's great. But like, what about the business of technology, right? What about the 18 things you need to wear as hats in order to be successful, right? There's accounting, there's HR, there's sales, there's marketing, there's supply chain, right? Got to order stuff, got to deliver stuff, got to ship stuff, got to return stuff, right? Like there's all these other things that nobody told you about when you got into, and by the way, America, anybody can start a business. I love that, by the way. Everybody should really honestly consider it. But there's all these other things that come along with it, right? Like you need to file your taxes. You're not going to do that on your own. You're going to have a specialist, do that for you, right? So you know, at the end of the day, like, I think a lot of the things I hear from a bar rescue episode or what I hear at a channel event for IT services, right? It's like, yeah, you know, I just didn't know. So I outsourced that and I relied on somebody else. And then I spent a lot of money on this area and like, it didn't work for me. And it's like, oh, okay. So like, did you give them the criteria about what you were trying to accomplish? No, they just told me what they were going to do and I just paid them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So like, even like, or how many times, Raf, have you heard, hey, do you have any marketing material, right? You go to the vendor, right? Whatever, 80 vendors for an MSP. And you're like, hey, what's your, yeah, I need a marketing slick. Slap the logo on, send it out. And they're like, did you even read what that said? Or did you just start sending stuff out? That's what, yeah, you just, in the inbox, out the inbox, right? I just slapped the logo on. It's like, they either don't have enough time, don't understand how to make the message different or better, right? And by the way, something that I download from a vendor, like a technical product sheet, I'm not sure that the person I'm selling to as my customer of the MSP even understands that.
Why would they care? And it's the same thing. It's like, if you're to that point, that whole vendor enablement side is crazy. Like, if you're out there and just slapping your logo on a flyer that literally thousands of other partners are probably doing the same thing, and you're trying to sound different, how do you do that when you're literally sending the exact same document with just your logo on it instead of somebody else's? What's the point of that like, what's the point of that flyer? Like you said, man, even that those technical documents, you got to think at the end of the day, someone has to make a business decision. So even if you're dealing with like a technical guy inside, that's your person, like you guys are friends inside, you know, you're butting it up. But that person is eventually going to have to present, why do we need this to the money people? Right. And then that's going to be a different conversation. If all you've had is this technical trot track, but you haven't satisfied the SMOP that really matters behind that technical thing, that guy's going to have a very difficult time trying to upsell your services internally. And I know some of you out there right now have deals that are stuck in this like nowhere land, because even if you have an agreement with the internal IT person, they for some reason can't get the go ahead from the upper level or from the money people, right? That's typically a reflection of, hey, we did a bad job conveying the right type of value or arming that person with the right thing. You think just giving them another technical white paper with your logo on it is gonna solve that, right? Like you're not helping the business conversation.
No, and so back to the, how do you grow and like, and listen, we've all been there, right? Crawl, walk, run. Hopefully you actually get to the running part. But like most people who start in this industry start based off of referrals, right? Like you talk to your network, they recommend you to other people. And like you hope over time that that continues happening and you do a good job and people are happy and that's great. And like that will eventually exhaust itself, right? Like every business networking organization out there, like, you know, BNI and LATIP and all those guys, right? Like you'll eventually exhaust your you know, most immediate network. And then what? And then you stop, hit your glass ceiling. Hey, I've gone as far as I can go. Maybe. But like at the end of the day, the people who have made it to this point, and I hope that if anyone's listening to this, you know, you're in my mind, one of three people, right, Raf? You're, hey, I started as a one-man show. I slowly grew. Maybe I added a person or two over time, but we're still relatively small and manageable. And like, I'm not trying to become mega corp, right? I just got to comfortable. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like you're able to maintain that over time. Hopefully it's profitable for you. And like, hopefully you didn't just create a job for yourself, right? Because I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody in the business for 20, 25, 30 years. And all they did was get enough money to generate a paycheck that they could have done if they were just working for somebody else, right? Like, wasn't
many
worth
cases, actually, many cases less. Right? In many cases, yeah. Less.
Right. Second guy is like, yeah. Hey, I understood I really wanted to get past small. I really invested. I took a chance. I borrowed money. I built to it. Yeah, like traditional path, right? Like went, got a line of credit, took a loan out, credit card, you know, 0%, whatever. And like grew it to, you know, maybe 25, 35, 45 people, whatever, right? But like, you know, created a nice, smallish, medium business that is doing some good revenue. But in order to keep everybody fed, in order to pay everybody's bills, in order to keep everybody happy, that requires you to continuously grow, right? Because if you're not growing, you're dying. Your customers don't stick around forever. The greater economy affects those people, right? Like, you know, we saw what happened in COVID. Unexpected, but hey, if you were in hospitality, you're in trouble, right? Because like they shut down. So then you got the other side, right? Corporate land, right? Big money, you know, like outside, you know, kind of, you know, investors coming in, throwing the briefcase down. A lot of money, but a lot of expectations with that money, Raf, right? There's strings. There's, you know, they expect to get their money back.
No free lunch.
No, they expect to get their money back, right? They're not just throwing it out there for fun. So like in my mind, there's like three categories, right? You're like somewhere in between those three. What all three require is new business coming through the door. And there's only two ways to have business, right? Existing customers adding net new things that generate more revenue.
Yeah.
Or net new customers coming in that add new logos, you know, to your business, right? Without those two things, eventually, over time, things will contract to the point where those customers don't exist, right? Like this is just textbook, whether you went to, you know, professional, you know, school or college or whatever, right? So at the end of the day, I know this is really old school, Raf, but I'm going to throw it out there. You got to constantly be thinking about, you know, like some people use ABC, always be closing, always be selling out with some version of that. But it's like, where does your next revenue generation point come from?
100%. Yeah. I mean, you got to know where you're, look, and here's one good point to that. This goes back to, I think, marketing, which is marketing's constantly evolving in how we get the message out. But at the end of the day, you got to get something out because forecasting referrals is not a winning strategy. You don't know how many referrals you're going to get. Referrals should be gravy money. You should be getting referrals as a function of you doing a good job. Referrals will come in. Hopefully you guys are good at what you do and you're going to get people say, hey, I know this dude over here is my computer guy and he's a really good guy or a good girl or whatever. And then check them out. Boom. You shoot him over. That's a referral, right? That should happen regardless, right? That's not like, because you never know how many you can't forecast referrals. And if some of you out there are planning on selling your business, which by the way, even if you never are ever going to sell your business, you should run it like if you are. You should run it like if you are. Because I had somebody tell me once a phrase a long time ago that always kind of stuck with me. And it was like, listen, everybody has an exit plan. The only decision whether it's going to be on your terms or not. Right? So you're going to either, we don't live forever. We don't make it to the, like, no one's going to live forever, right? Unless you plan on just keeling over at your desk one day at work, right? You want to make sure you have some type of like exit strategy to give you the option if you ever want to have it. And it's not just going to be on somebody else's terms. Okay. So make sure to keep that in mind. I'll give you guys another cool thing that kind of I notice people are really struggle with. Everyone talks about like discovery and you should be asking questions in a sales call, right? We've all heard this before, I hope, that in a sales conversation, when you're doing a sales meeting, you should be asking questions, right? So one exercise I love to do, and I teach this to, I put this out in our class in Denver. We had a lot of fun with this, okay? So I'm going to challenge all of you guys that are out there to do this. This is one little bit of homework. Any of you can do this, okay? Try to find four strangers over the course of like, you know, a couple of days, weekend or something, maybe three or four different people, okay? And you want to get four pieces of information out of them during the scope of one conversation. Find out their favorite movie and or series. Some people are like, I just love Game of Thrones. Some people like Reservoir Dogs, whatever, right? What's your favorite movie and or series? What's your favorite song and or album? I'll even give you artist. I just like Beyonce, right? That's George's favorite. So either that or, or their favorite color and then their favorite food, okay? So if you can get all four of those pieces of information or disparate pieces of information in the scope of one conversation without the person you're talking to asking, why are you asking me this? You win. The moment they ask you, why are you asking me this? You lose. And just take a mental note of this, of why it broke down. These are typically low risk questions, right? What is there any risk in you telling me your favorite food, right? Or your favorite color or whatever, but in the wrong context, right? Without the proper, you know, segue, but without the proper reduction of risk in the conversation and credibility, any of those questions come off as like, as high value, as high risk, right? It's more important to a couple things I tell people. One, this teaches you how to gather four disparate pieces of information and constantly be thinking about, in the scope of the conversation, man, I got to get this, I got to get that, I got to get this. Because that's in a sales call, you have to get disparate pieces of information without making it sound like an interrogation, right? How do you keep it conversational so you know where to go? And the second thing is to be hyper aware. So you're actively listening, but you know where this conversation is going. Like, I've seen the best salespeople that I've seen are the ones that make this feel super comfortable. We've all had salespeople sell, we've all been in that sales environment where it just feels so like nice. It just feels comfortable asking the questions, but I'm learning stuff along the way. It feels kind of like, it doesn't feel like I'm being sold. It feels like I'm just having a really good educational conversation that's leading somewhere, right? That's typically how we flow. The thing is that most of us are just struggle with like how to ask for that stuff. And I'm saying, look, if you can't get somebody's favorite color, how do you expect to get their budget? How do you expect to get really important stuff? Like, you know, it's in the wrong context, right? Those are like really high value questions that we expect our salespeople to ask. I'm like, look, start practicing by asking people conversationally four really low value questions and see how you do and see what you learn from that exercise.
No, that's a good point. And quite frankly, you know, back to the genuine answers, right? That we started with in the beginning, right? Like truthful, genuine. I, Raph, once had, not very recently, right? I had somebody, you know, I was doing prospecting. I was doing that discovery. I got all their criteria of like what they were after, right? And then on the second call, I went back and I'm like, all the answers changed. And I was like, wait a minute. We talked about this. I was like, all of a sudden you went to a completely different list of, yeah, it's like you went to a same project. Like, did something change? And what I found out was I was getting half, and you know, like I was getting not 100% truthful responses, right? And it's like, you know what? Maybe this isn't the right fit. I think we should pause. You know, let's just decide that this is not the right place for both of us. And like, maybe you should look into other options, right? Why? I didn't even give you anything yet, right? We're at the very beginning of this. I shouldn't be getting dramatically different answers from call to call, right? From meeting to meeting. So like, part of your job, everybody wants to win, right? I hope so. I love winning. But back to the winning the right business versus the wrong business, at that stage, you're just as much evaluating if they're the good fit on the other side. Like, you know, how many times have you gone through the forums, the Reddits, the Facebooks, whatever, and you're like, hey, you know, like the other MSP is not handing over information. The other MSPs, you know, like locking things down. We're having to jump through hoops. And it's like, you ever ask the question, what?
Yeah.
Like, did they pay their bill? Did it end well? Or, you know, like, was it just, hey, they were shopping and it was that time and it was renewal time and they found a better deal? Or did something go badly, right? And like, by the way, if it happened badly with the last guy, it's probably going to happen to you at some point in, you know, in the timeline, right? So like, you know, like sometimes you do need to do a little bit of extra homework. And to your point, Raph, like if you can't ask basic questions that aren't very, you know, like people would deem not super important, how do you get to the actual, what am I walking into, right?
Yeah. And plus, let's let people let their guard down a little bit, man. Like, it's practicing getting conversational with your discovery. Because look, there's two things that kind of move a sale along, right? It's credibility and curiosity. If I can leverage credibility to say that, hey, I know what I'm talking about, and then I can leverage curiosity. Curiosity is the speed at which the sale moves. So if I have credibility already established, I can leverage curiosity to kind of make the deal keep moving forward. Like, hey, that sounds great. Next step. I just want you to get to the next step. I'm not trying to close a whole deal. I'm just trying to get from one step to the next step, right? That's where we can leverage credibility and curiosity in each of those steps. But if you're going out there and you're sounding like you're gargling marbles trying to ask these questions, dude, it's going to ruin your credibility, which is going to make it harder for you to get to the other side, right? It's going to make people now question you. But to your point, George, about qualifying and understanding who your demographic is, who you're talking to, who your ideal customers are, man, some of the best salespeople that I've seen, like the Michael Jordan salespeople out there that I've seen, because there's some of you out there are just crushing it, disqualify probably more deals than they close. They know right off the bat, is this going to happen or not? They can know whether this conversation is going to go anywhere. They have a really clear understanding after that first meeting. They can tell you, hey, there's something here or not. And I think that's a function of just experience, practice, understanding your value, understanding the clients you're going after, understanding what you can do as a business and the impact you provide. When you clearly understand that stuff and then understand how to really extract like credible, meaningful information from your prospects in a conversational way that like, it's not like interrogation time. It just makes it feel easy. When you're in that position, it's a position of a lot of power. It takes a lot of practice to get there, though. It sounds easy. It sounds super easy. Like all this stuff that me and George are telling you, I know that right now sounds A, common sense. Like, yeah, duh, of course I know all this. And B, probably sounds super easy. The reality is very few of you are actually doing it, right? Are actually doing it in that way. And so things that, again, it's like, man, don't take yourself so serious. You forget to improve and forget to practice and forget to look at where you're vulnerable at. Don't get complacent. And one of the things, again, that I've seen, I'm George, you have partners that have blown up. Like you have partners that have just reached massive success. We've all seen these guys out there. They're killing it out there. And they all have, I think, a couple common denominators. One, they never feel like I got it. They're always constantly learning. They're always constantly looking at how to improve. They're always usually open and vulnerable to being like, hey, where can I, like, what can I do better? Like, what should I, what am I falling behind at and being real about that? Right. I think they have a mindset that is like, not a mindset of like scarcity of just, yeah, trying to be a snake and steal as many weird deals for me as possible. They have a mindset usually of abundance, of like giving back, of like doing more. What is this really all about? And the third thing I think that I've seen that has really kind of implemented stuff and seen success is people practicing, like actually practicing the function and making improvements and keep continuously growing from there. Like not just being like complacent with their process, just practicing it, testing it. Is this process that we were using before still applicable today? Whether it's a technical process, whether it's a marketing process, whether it's a sales process, don't fall in love with the process, fall in love with the results. And then figure out how to get there.
I'm going to use that. Don't fall in love with the process. Fall in love with the results. Okay. I like that. That's going to be the quote of the day.
There we go. All right.
That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put that as a theme on my side. Right? Be like, hey, everyone, quote of the day.
Awesome, man.
Process can always be tweaked, right? And actually, like sometimes the recipe does need to be tweaked. You know, like, you know, you might improve it. And sometimes you're, you know, but you need to work backwards from the outcome that you're after. I always work backwards. I don't know why. I just, you know, reverse waterfall, whatever they call it, right? It's like, hey, I want this to be what I'm after. I want this to be what my customer feels. I want this to be that, like maybe the question is, Raf, how do I get to the end of my deals or my sales cycle faster? Right? It's like, instead of 6 months, I want to make it 3 months, 2 months, 1 month, right? It's like, how do I make that happen for me, right? And you got to like work backwards to that. Or how do I make sure my customer's so happy with me that they will give me a referral if I ask them for it?
Yeah.
Right? So like, these are the things that you should be after. But anyway, Raf, I really appreciate you jumping on here.
Thank you, man.
By the way, I really appreciate you for jumping into MSP Community Minds. Hopefully we can like recreate the magic in September. And hopefully you're around and you can help us again.
Yeah, sure, man.
For anyone, and by the way, Raf's actually not even like tied to anyone, right? Like, you know, you would think, oh, by the way, go to raftsmarketing.com. That's not even true. He doesn't even have that, right? He's actually doing other things. But Raf, if somebody was like, hey, I really like what he said, and they want to reach out to you and just say, hey, you were talking about this, can you put me in the right direction? How do people get a hold of you?
Sure. So right now, actually, I am tied to somebody. I've been working with the company for the last few months, really helping them fix their messaging and sales and everything. I'm taking on the position as your CRO. It's a company called AlertOps. So you can reach me at Rafael S, RAFAELS, at AlertOps, AlertOps.com. Just reach me there. Reach me on LinkedIn, Rafael Sangili. I have a pretty unique last name, so there's going to be a lot of us running out there. You might run into my dad, maybe, but that's going to be a whole separate conversation. But other than that, if you guys have any questions, like I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you guys, which I should never do on a live webinar, but I'm going to give you my cell phone number. And if you want to text me or call me, you can reach me there. It's 562-544-8902. This is the, like, George knows me, man. I am a person who, if you need help, I will literally do whatever I can to help you with this within my power. That's, I, you guys, we've known each other. This is one of the reasons I love George too. He's the same way about just, we give stuff away, man. I'm happy to give away information. I'm happy to give away help, whatever we can, because look, the more that we all help each other, the more we all share information like this in these forums, the better we all do. Man, we all, it's funny, George and I, and all of us, all the vendors, and even the partners, we all have this, like, we all complain about the same crap every year about these events and about, like, man, we're not getting any value, or I wish it was that, or I wish it was this. Guess who can change all that? We can. We all can. We're, oh, this is our house. We can build it any way we want. So just tell us the stuff that you want to work on. Let's all keep pushing information back together. Let's all keep not falling in love with the process, right? Let's figure out how to get the results and how to always help each other, how to get there better, quicker, faster. This community is what makes us really special, man. It's one of the things I love about this MSP community. We're unique. We're super unique. Like, I don't, unless you've ever worked outside this industry, it's something to behold what this channel, what this channel really is all about. The love, the kind of weird, like, help that we all do for each other, that we're all there for each other. That's a unicorn in the business world, folks. We got to keep that. That's a special thing I hope we can all keep.
Hey, man, I can't wait to see you again. I'm sure we'll see each other soon. By the way, you'll go to alertops.com and you'll be like, this has nothing to do with what the session was about. That's the whole point. We're just trying to help people. Take the help. Take it.
Absolutely. Hey, and if I'm in your town, come by and see a comedy show. I actually do stand-up. We didn't get into any of this, but I do stand-up comedy as well. If you guys ever want to come out and see a show, if I'm in your town, also look me up.
Yeah, I need to do that. Guys, this session was absolutely 100% recorded. You want to rewind to get Raph's phone number. And by the way, that's not the first time somebody gave their phone number out. Every time it happens, I almost fall out of my chair. I'm like, oh, wow, that just happened. That's great. So that's awesome. So this session was recorded. You'll find it on MSPinitiative.com under sessions. It'll be on our YouTube channel. It'll be on all the podcatchers. You'll see it. You'll see it later on today, hopefully. Raph, thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. Be talking welcome to you soon. To everyone else, please keep coming back to these. And hopefully we'll see you either in person or at an event real soon. Have a good one, everyone.
See you guys later. Bye, everybody.